Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our worship podcast for Sunday, October the 25th. I am glad you're here in spirit. Several things going on I want to tell you about. This next Sunday, November the 1st, we will celebrate All Saints Memorial Day, and that's the time that we memorialize those of our church family who have passed on to glory in the previous year, or your family members. If you'd like to take part in that, look at the newsletter to see how to do it. And also, you can call the church office and let us know if you have someone to memorialize. This is the last week for the pumpkin patch. We will end on that this next Saturday. So come by and visit the patch and get a pumpkin. Also, we're putting together our Thanksgiving baskets. We are deciding that because of the COVID that we won't be gathering food in the usual way. The food pantry is buying the items and assembling the bags, and we're asking for a donation of $10 to fill each bag. And if you would also like to purchase the turkey to go with it, that will be another $10. And there is a form in your newsletter to fill out for that. Now let's spend a few minutes being in preparation to worship together. You may want to get your communion elements together for the communion time during worship, and prepare yourselves for worship as we listen to this beautiful music. Our call to worship today is based on the lectionary Psalm 90. Let's be in worship together. Lord, you have been our dwelling place for generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let your work be manifest in your servants. May your glorious power shine through us. Let the favor of the Lord be upon us. May God prosper us for the work of our hands. As we enter into a time of prayer together, I would ask you to get your prayer list that you have for those that you want to remember in prayer. And always we want to keep all of the first responders, all of those who are tasked with helping to keep us safe during the time of COVID. All of our men and women in uniform, we keep them in our prayers this day. Let's be in prayer. Everlasting God, you are the beginning, the end, and everything in between. You love us as your children in spite of our imperfections. We come now to offer you this worship, trusting that you will receive it as a faithful expression of our devotion to you. We honor you today and every day, O Lord. We continue our prayers as we lift up to those of whom we are aware who are in need of your graceful presence. Allow them the gracious knowledge that they are being held in prayer this day. We pray for those who are sick in this time of COVID, that you would grace them with your peaceful presence. O Lord, we are grateful to be in your worship presence this day, and we ask your continued blessing upon our worship. We pray these prayers and the prayers of our deepest heart in the name of Christ Jesus, who taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's spend a few minutes thinking about stewardship during our worship time together. Poor Moses. Remember that he devoted the last 40 years of his life to following God's call, rescuing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, schlepping them around the wilderness for 40 years while putting up with their whining and complaining. And when they finally make it to the Promised Land, he's not even allowed to go in. He dies on the cusp of the land the Israelites are about to inherit. Life can seem not fair in that way, but God encourages us to look at the bigger picture. Each day we go to sleep with unfinished business, and when our life ends, there's no way we will have accomplished everything we set out to do. But you see, it's not about us. It's about God and how the way we live out our faith paves the road for future generations of believers. The gifts that you and I give today are not about you and me. They are about reaching people in Jesus' name, showing them the love God has for them, providing for their spiritual and physical needs. Our journey of faith is never complete, but we can trust that God uses us and our gifts to make a difference far beyond what we can even imagine. Now I would encourage you to bring your tithes and offerings, either giving online or you can drop your offerings by the church at some time. Let's pray. Timeless God, help us to create a legacy that lives long past our time here on earth. Open our hands to share our resources so that others may inherit your promises and experience your blessings. May our journey of faith be defined by our generosity. Amen. For many of us, the greatest commandment rolls off our tongues. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But those words are often easier said than lived out, aren't they? We think it can be tough to love our neighbor, but we sometimes forget that it can also be difficult to love ourselves because we know just how unlovable we can be. That's why we come to the table. We come to the communion table to be reminded that we are loved beyond measure by God who knows us intimately and still calls us children. We may bring to this meal a sense of self-loathing or low self-esteem at one time or another. We may not think we are worthy of being invited to this feast. And yet the invitation is still there, not offered by us, but by Christ Himself. The table is set for you. Even on days when we feel unworthy of love and incapable of loving others, God loves us. May this bread and cup be a tangible reminder of the love that was poured out for us, so much so that it should overflow from us to those around us. We are loved, and we are worthy of love. Let's share in communion together. O God, bless this holy meal to our lives and our lives to your service for Christ's sake. Amen.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. We'll sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
Our scripture reading today will come from the Old Testament book of Micah. I will be reading from the 6th chapter, the 6th through the 8th verses. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Unlike some of the other prophets who came from very prominent households, Micah was a peasant farmer. He was from Philistia, which was part of Judah. He prophesied around 700 BC. He championed the cause of the oppressed peasants against whom he saw as the arrogant rich. About the same time as Isaiah and about the century after Jeremiah was Micah's prophecy. Micah was an angry prophet. Listen to the first words of his prophecy. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, you peoples, all of you, hearken, O earth, and all that is in it, and let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will be cleft like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. So you can really see that Micah was letting them have it. And today's passage gets to the point of what Micah thinks God really wants from God's wayward children. He was telling them that the kings and the priests and the leaders of the temple had the form of worship, but not the substance of worship. Form without substance was empty, according to Micah. Not only that, the rich were getting richer, and the poor were getting poorer. In chapter 6, Micah lays out in simple language exactly the way to please God. not with burnt offerings, not with rivers of oil, certainly not with human sacrifice of the firstborn. God required three things. The first was to do justice. You notice that it was an action verb, do justice. To act justly, not to talk about justice. In our own history, justice has always been a cornerstone of our pronouncements, has it not? But our actions have not always matched up to those pronouncements. We are still struggling with the concept of justice put into action. Now, the Black Lives Matter movement is a testament to the task not being completed, and we must understand it in that way. In America, even today, we must admit that a rich white guy's chances of receiving justice and a poor black guy's chances of receiving justice are significantly different. The sociologists tell us that the best way to predict whether a child will grow up to have a successful life, and the sociologists describe successful as being able to live fulfilled and having a home and a chance at a good job and all of those things that we generally consider success. They say the best way to predict that is to know the zip code of the child growing up. Great wealth is generational because, well, it's generational. Abject poverty is generational because, well, it's generational. And if you live in a zip code that is defined by abject poverty, the odds are the children will grow up and be poor. If you live in a zip code, perhaps like a memorial zip code in Houston or in the Woodlands, the odds are that your children are going to grow up and they're going to earn a good living. That's just the way things have been. The second thing that God required, according to Micah's prophecy, is to love kindness. The heroes in all of Jesus' stories and parables were the folks who displayed kindness. The one who stopped to help a stranger on the road, beaten and left for dead, the one who went the extra mile, the one who gave her cloak and her coat, the one who gave a cup of water, and the list goes on and on and on. Kindness is the expression of love, and love is the wellspring of kindness. The kindness shown by Joseph of Arimathea, who asked for the body of Jesus and gave Jesus a proper burial in a tomb provided by him. It was kind of Joseph of Arimathea to do that. And it was also dangerous. Kindness sometimes involves risk. The last thing that Micah says God requires of us is humility. The kings, the priests, the temple leaders, the rich who had the power, they were the polar opposite of humble folks. They were masters of their universe, at least in their own minds. Humility was simply not a part of their makeup. But why is humility necessary? Why does God require humility of us? Well, I think in order for us to do justice and love kindness, we must be able to step outside of ourselves and see the world through another's perspective. It's called empathy. There's an old Scotch-Irish blessing that goes something like, "Thank ye God the gift ye gie us to see ourselves as others see us." Or as Harry Emerson Fosdick, that great preacher of another day, put it, "A man all wrapped up in himself makes a mighty small package." Walking humbly with our God allows us to really see the needs of others around us. Those three attributes combined, justice, kindness, and humility, make for a person who is able to hear and respond to the command of Jesus, "Love one another as I have loved you." And yes, that was no mere suggestion. That was a command. Now, church family, let's take this command of Jesus to heart. This next week, let's take these three attributes: justice, kindness, humility, and concentrating on practicing them in our own lives, let's bring them to the fore. The next time you have a decision to make, is it the right, is it the just decision to make? The next time you have the choice to be kind. For me, it's while I'm driving. I need to be a lot kinder in my attitude towards my fellow drivers. And I will work on that this week. For you too, practice every bit of kindness that you can. And then finally, walk humbly. Try to stand outside yourself, see yourself as others see you, and try to see each other, the other, as a child of God. And I promise we'll have a good week. God bless.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my comfort.